goes and satisfied. And actually, this kind of sermon also relate to the married couple as well. So if you don't hear, you didn't come for the first session, please get the CD. Just order the CD, Single and Satisfied, the first session. And today we're going to talk on the second one to kind of to end the sermon. I hope I have enough time. You're stuck here anyway. You're going to get out of here. No, I'm kidding. So we're going to hear more about what Paul has to say about single. How many people are single in this room? When I say single, it means that you never get married, or you got married and you divorced, or maybe you are a widow, you are single. Anyone in this room single? Wow. Hallelujah. I'm not. I just raised hand for you, but I'm not single. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If I keep raising hand, I will be in trouble. So last time we learned that in order to have a life that be full of satisfaction, even though you are single, we need to wait on the Lord. We learn about putting an antenna up to hear the Holy Spirit, what God going to lead us to find our mate. We also learn that if you think that marriage going to be a better deal for you, you have a big mistake. You believe in the lie, because marriage doesn't solve all the problem in your life. Amen. You need to get married because God directs you that way. Now, today I want to go to the next one. Last time we learned, wait on the Lord. Wait on God's timing. Wait for God to bring the right man and the right woman for you. Today, the second one, watch for the Lord. Watch for the Lord. Look up and watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29, the Bible says, by this I say, I'm going to go on read to verse 31. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Everyone say, time is short. So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none. Those who weep as though they did not weep. Those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice. Those who buy as though they did not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. I want to explain to you what Paul tried to say here in this scripture. He tried to raise a perspective issue here. He tried to say to you that even though you live in this world, you have many things to do. You know, if you are married, you need to deal with getting income, deal with kids, education, buying a house, do this and that. People may give you a hard time. You may be depressed. People may make you cry. Your boss may give you a hard time. Or things around you, the circumstances around you. You know, that's what he say about buying property. If you want to rejoice, you know, all these things, you know, things around you. But Paul tried to tell the church that instead of focusing on the things of the world, whether you are married or you're single, you from now on, you need to look at your life from an eternal perspective. In other words, Paul tried to say that life on earth is relatively short. You know, you may think you live 90 years. You may think you live 86 years. You may think you live 103 years. I plan to live more than 100 years. Vidda. You know, by that time I still travel around preaching the word of God. I'm going to be strong. Amen. That's what I say to myself. I'm going to be strong at 100 years old. Amen. So we think we're going to live long, but I tell you that 100 years go very fast. 90 years go very fast. Life on earth is short, but we have another life after this world. Compare to eternity. Compare your life to your life in heaven. Your life on earth is relatively short. Therefore, your eyes should look to the eternity. Should not focus much on the things of the world. Not only that, the Bible also says that marriage gonna pass away one day. Marriage gonna be gone one day. Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible says, for in the resurrection, do you know that if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be resurrected one day? God going to put your spirit with a new body, and you're going to be resurrected and live in heaven for eternity. In the day of resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. Marriage is valuable only in time and history. Marriage has nothing to do with eternity. When you go to heaven one that day, when Paul and Germany go to heaven, Paul is going to become a brother of Germany. You are not her husband anymore. Victor is going to become a brother of Masako. I know you're sad about that. But I cannot change that situation because that's what the Bible says. I'm sad that when I go to heaven, I will be only a brother of Da. I'm not her husband anymore. Marriage is going to be gone when you are in heaven. No more. Marriage is only for history of humanity. And the Bible says clearly, for the form of this world is passing away. Therefore, as Christian, we don't just look at the things on the earth here. We do not look at the business, the house, the marriage, the work, the education. We look beyond. We don't just look on the superficial side of the life. Because if you just look at the material, you look at your work, you look at your housing, your income, your saving, your 401k, your Roth IRA, you just look at only this thing. Nothing wrong about saving for pension. But look beyond superficial. Look at the eternal value. And when you do that, you begin to live your life for the purposes of God. You're going to prepare your life for eternity. If you don't prepare your life for eternity, on that day when you get to heaven, you're going to be shocked. Wow, God gave me 80 years on earth, but I did not do anything with it. I waste my time. You did not get a lot of rewards in heaven. You did not get the crown of glory in heaven. My dear brother and sister, one day we all going to die. Is that right? You don't like to hear that word. You notice that the conversation around the dining table, people don't like to talk about death. One thing that when you talk about death, people just get scared. Don't say, oh, don't talk about death. But it's a reality of life. One day we're going to leave this world. And I tell you that in only a few years after you die, people may forget about you already. I remember the story of James Dobson. He said that he get a trophy from being a sport person in the college. And a few years later, they found his trophy in the garbage can of the school. People forget very fast about you. People will not remember your name. Therefore, don't just live your life for today, but live your life for the purpose of God for eternity. I'm running the race right now. I'm not just working as a neurosurgeon. I'm not just trying to be a good doctor, but I'm living my life for the purpose of God in the long term, for the eternity. I'm finding my calling, my purpose. That watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be attached too much to the things of the world. It's going to be gone. I look at the, thank God for Rochelle. Rochelle emailed me the website about the view, the air view of the land before. I don't know how they do that. I just wonder. I know, but how they take the same picture before the tsunami and right after the tsunami, exactly the same corner. This is amazing. They took the picture of the land before tsunami and right after tsunami, two pictures you can click before and after. Oh, you were shocked to see that all the land is wiped out by the wave, the giant wave. You know what I learned about this tsunami? I think God tried to teach us something, that the things of the world will not last forever. It will pass away one day. Therefore, don't cling on to the things of this world. Amen. But live your life for the purpose of God for eternity. If you worry too much about your wedding, your marriage, your life, and you keep sitting down and worry and worry and worry and frustrated, you will never have energy to live your life for the purpose of God. Don't look to the circumstance around you. Just keep focused. Look at the Lord. Watch for the Lord and live your life for eternity. I believe that day when you go to heaven, you will say, I have done my best. I did not waste my time on earth. That's the number two. Watch for the Lord. Number three, work for the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, but I want you to be without care. Paul was saying to the Christian in the early church, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of God, of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. Verse 35, and this I say for your own benefit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, that you may serve the Lord without distraction. It's good to get married. Don't take me wrong. I'm not against getting married. But one benefit of being single is this, that you can devote to the Lord. You can keep undistracted, undivided distraction to the Lord. You can focus on growing, studying Bible. You can focus on serving the Lord. You can grow, become more mature. You can, you know, use your singlehood for the benefit of God. Serve God fully while you are single. Don't sit around being sad and being pitiful to yourself. That, oh, you know, look at my friend. She got married already. He got married. How about me? I'm still single. No, 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 no. Use your time of being single to serve the Lord fully, to grow fully, to get into the Word of God, to get into the anointing. Don't be frustrated. Say, God, I trust you. If you can create the heavens and the earth out of nothing, you can bring a person to me one day at the right timing. Amen. Don't worry. Don't get frustrated. Don't get distracted. But serve the Lord fully. Work for the Lord fully while you are still single. Amen. Don't waste your time. Amen. Give your undivided attention, undivided devotion to God while you are still single. You know why? After you get married, you're going to be busy with something else too. Amen. You cannot give your life to God fully anymore because you have to take care of the household, you have to cook for him, or you need to go out and work. There are a lot of things going on as a married woman or as a married man. So maximize your time while you are single to serve the Lord. Verse 34, the Bible says, there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. So you can see here that it's a blessing to be single, that you can fully focus on serving the Lord. Amen. Don't think that being single as a second-class citizen, you do not have distraction. You can eat whatever you want. You can go anywhere you want. You can come home anytime you want. You know, for me, if I go out and a little bit late, I need to call Da. Hello, honey. I come home soon. You know, but if you are single, not me, you are single. You can, you know, go and visit people. You can go mission trip without worrying too much. You can go mission trip. Go to Japan. 5 weeks, and you can do anything. Is that right? But if you are married, you're stuck. You cannot go that too long. You have to come home because your husband is waiting for you. Your wife is waiting for you. Amen. You may say like this. You know, God, some of you, God may say, God has a plan for your life. He's going to give the best spouse for you. And his plan may be 5 years. Okay? His plan for you may be 5 years. Use those 5 years fully to serve the Lord. If you try to rush God to get a spouse at 4 years, you may cry another 10 years and get divorced because you picked the wrong person. You know, I shared yesterday on a Saturday night that there are three kinds of single. Can I share with you? Don't get mad at me. The first kind of single, we call griper. G-R-I-P-E-R. They gripe. They complain. Oh, I'm getting older. I just turned 25. You know, I'm getting older now. I have no boyfriend yet. I have no girlfriend yet. I'm 25. I'm old. Gripe, gripe, gripe. The second kind of single, grasper. G-R-S-P-E-R. Grasp. They will grasp everyone, every single being that has two legs around the street and just get married. Just grab. Grasper. The third kind are the people, the single who focus on growing. While you're single, you can focus on growing in the Lord. And the more you are mature in the Lord, the more you're going to be a blessing to your future spouse, the more you're going to be a blessing to your kids. But you, if you are immature, you're going to be a burden and a headache to your spouse. It's almost like, you know, sometimes a married couple, they may be 35 years old. I'm not attacking 35 years old people in this room. I just give you an example. Some 35 years old people may have a baby attitude, kids. So it's almost like have two kids run around the house fighting all the time. And that's why we see a lot of divorces in America, because two kids are running around even though they are 35 years old. The key of successful marriage is maturity. Grow up. If you're more mature, you can handle pressure. You can handle the differences in your home. So if God tells you 5 years, use those 5 years very, very effectively for the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. You know, I learned about time. I want to tell you, share with you about time. When I was a young boy at 8 years old, oh, I tell you, each day went so slowly. Oh, when I gonna turn 12? Each year goes so slow. How many people feel that way when you were 8 years old? Oh, I want to be a man. 12, 15 years old. I want to have voice like a man. I want to have a girlfriend. At 8 years old, so slow. 9 years old, so slow. 10 years old, so slow. At 12 years old, I want to graduate from high school, college, and I want to get a job. You know, everything's so slow when you were young. You know why you're so slow? It's so slow. Even though 24 hours is the same today. Because you were not busy. But I tell you right now, Don always say that this man has many jobs. I wear the hat of a husband. I wear the hat of a neurosurgeon. I wear the hat of the pastor. I wear the hat of traveling minister. So now each day is so busy. And when the life is busy, they go very fast. How many people agree with you? When you go to your office and think busy at the office, boom, 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 8 hours done. But you stand there at the Nordstrom and stand there and no customer come in. So long here. When we gonna over 8 hours? But if the customer keep coming in, buy your stuff for you. Oh, 8 hours fast. The same thing. 5 years for you to get married. Maybe God give you a spouse in 5 years. 5 years gonna go very fast if you are busy, and busy with the Lord. Gonna go fast. If you sit around self-pity, worry, frustration, sit at home and feel pity on yourself, it's gonna go very slow for 5 years. Amen. So instead of waiting for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or Miss Right, you serve the Lord. Get busy with the work of God. And now you complain to me like this. You complain, Pastor, you don't understand me. I'm kind of getting old now. I'm getting old. I need to hurry up to get married. You know, the word getting old is a relative word. I give you an example. If you marry at 40 years old and you live to 90, you have 50 years of marriage. But if you marry at 20, but you die at 40, you have only 20 years of marriage. So it's not about what age you get married. It's about how long you're going to live. And the Bible says that if you love God and serve God, you're going to live a long life. I just read Psalm chapter 91 a while ago. You're going to live a long life. God is going to protect you. Sickness and disease cannot be upon you because you love God. You give your life to God fully. I always quote this scripture to myself every single day when I wake up, because I believe in living long life, healthy life. This is a scripture that you should know. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And God never lies. God never lies. 15:26. The Bible says, and if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you. None. Everyone say none. None of the diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians mean the world, people in the world. For I am the Lord who heals you. You're going to live in divine health, strong health, supernatural strength inside you. You are not weak. Amen. You're going to be strong. You will not have knee problem, arthritis, back problem. You're going to live. But the key is this. Give your life to live for God and obey God all the days of your life. Amen. Verse 36, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 7:36. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, mean his fiancé or girlfriend, and if she is past the flower of youth, in other words, some men cannot control themselves. Oh, they want to get married very fast. They have not much self-control. Thus it must be. Let him do what he wishes. He does not sin. Let them marry. So the Bible says that if you have a girlfriend, if you have a boyfriend and you already grown up, I'm not talking about 16 years old, 15 years old. I'm talking about grown up people. And you really say, I cannot wait. I need to get married soon. Go for it. Instead of committing sexual immorality. Amen. So, I many times in our church, when a couple come to me, and they are grown up people, they are not like a 18 years old girl. And they come to me, you know, we love each other. Should we get married? I say, you know, if your finance is ready, your spiritual life is ready, go for it. You don't need to wait for 5 years. But we want to make sure that they are ready. Financially, spiritually, and emotionally. They need to be a little bit more mature in order to get married. I don't want to have two kids in the same home and fighting all the time. I don't want to keep giving counseling to the married couple. Amen. So nothing wrong to get married. Amen. Number four. Do you learn something today? Number one, wait on the Lord. This sermon is for Khun San. Wait on the Lord. Number two, what's for the Lord? Number three, work for the Lord. Number four, wait in the Lord. Everyone say, in the Lord. Verse 39, the Bible says, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes. Only in the Lord. What does it mean here? It means that Paul tried to say that if you get married, you have a string attached. It's one way in, no way out. No turning around. Amen. You cannot give excuses to divorce. There is no word divorce in the biblical dictionary. Amen. Almost impossible to get out. You're stuck, huh? You bow. So therefore, before getting married, pray carefully. Because one, you sign the wedding certificate, marriage certificate, you sign your life off already. You sign your life away. You cannot get divorced. Done deal. Amen. Hallelujah. Make a lot of people scared to sign now. Sign your life away. There is no divorce in the church. Amen. So, a lot of people always come to the pastor and say like that. Oh, pastor, I don't know that she is like that. And then my answer, you are in, you are in. Some people come to me, pastor, have mercy on me. I don't know that he snores like that at night. My answer, you are in, you are in. Some people come to me, I don't know that she looks like that when she took off her false eyelash. You are in, you are in. You cannot get away. You need to stay in your marriage. Amen. Don't jump out of marriage. Don't say that, oh, it doesn't work out for me. Therefore, you know why a lot of marriage problem happen? Because there are a lot of, I mean, I'm telling you the truth, okay? Because I did it before. There are a lot of lies in dating. A lot of lies. Oh, you're so beautiful. I love you only. You're the most beautiful woman. He lies. If you don't say yes, he's gonna turn to another woman soon. He lies. Oh, no. He pulled the chair off, sit down. He opened the door of the car. He lies. How do you know that he lies? Because after getting married, he never opened the door anymore. He stopped pulling the chair. So that's why a lot of ladies, single ladies, have a really kind of wrong conception that, oh, after I get married, he's going to do the same thing to me. I mean, thank God that some men still do the same thing. Like, you know, like Jim, still do the same thing. I know that. Like me, no, I'm not sure. Still do the same thing at the time of dating. So, you have to be careful. Amen. You're going to be shocked. You know, a lot of time after honeymoon period is over, I tell you, the truth going to come out. Before marriage, oh, when you go to his home, everything's clean, nice. All the garbage, all cleaned up. But after get married, you find out that he throw his sock on the ground and he never pick up. The real person going to come out after 1 year. That's why I warn you. If you're going to get married, do it in the Lord. What does it mean? Your marriage should be orchestrated by God. Amen. Amen. God is the one who put you together, not man. Not your own flesh. God put you together. Amen. So, number one, wait on the Lord. Number two, watch for the Lord. Look for eternity. Number three, what? Work for the Lord. Serve the Lord. Number four, wait in the Lord. Now, at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you an example of a great single in the Bible. There is one good example of a single. Every time I read about this story, I'm so convicted. I'm so inspired. That man in the Bible that was a very successful single and show us a good example, his name is Joseph. Joseph was a single. And look at what the Bible says about Joseph. And I want you to follow his example. Joseph is a great example. Genesis chapter 39 verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. And he was a successful man. He was in the house of his master of the Egyptian. Joseph, if you read the story about Joseph in the book of Genesis, you find out that Joseph had a terrible family experiences. His brother hated him. His brother sold him into slavery. They tried to kill him. They pushed him into the pit and tried to get rid of him. My dear brother and sister, but you notice the Bible said that Joseph was very successful. What I tried to show you here is this, that it doesn't matter what background you have. It doesn't matter what family experiences you have. You may be may grow up in an abusive home. Your dad may be an alcoholic. Your mom may be short-tempered person, yelling all the time, whatever. You know, or you grow up in a home that your mom and your dad divorced. Maybe you get abused by somebody when you were young. It doesn't matter what background and experiences in the past you have. You can be successful. And this is the key. The key is the presence of God. Amen. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. He loved God. He had an intimate relationship with God. And God was with him. How can you have God with you? The first step in your life, you need to invite Jesus into your life first. And invite Jesus to come into your life. The next step, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Third step, keep your life in revival, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Spend time with God all the time. If God is with you, no one can come against you. I tell you right now, the reason I'm successful in my practice, and many, Jim know very well that I'm very successful in my practice. The reason I'm successful, even when I first came to America to go to Harborview Hospital, not because I speak English very well, not because I know all the medical knowledge like many American doctors, but I have one thing that no one can compete with me. I have the presence of God. Amen. God was with me. Hallelujah. Amen. God was with me. Dr. Richard Wynn never accepted any Asian foreign graduate doctor into his department, and never happened to now. When I show up in his office, I could not even speak English very well. I remember the first few weeks when I was on call, when the nurse called me up. I was on call at Harborview. The nurse called me up. She tried to talk to me. I couldn't understand. I could not understand her. I have to say, okay, hang up. I'm going to run to the floor and look at your mouth what you speak to me. I really have weakness in English at that time. But God still was on my side. I was promoted to be the second in command in only 1 year at Harborview Hospital. Why? Not because I'm a great guy, but because I have relationship with God, because I have the presence of God. Let me read that scripture one more time. The Lord was with Joseph. Everyone say, the Lord is with me. The presence of God through receiving Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and stay in the outpouring. You know, stay in the outpouring means the showering of the Holy Spirit come upon you all the time. You get touched by God, fill up all the time. When you go out of this house, it's going to leak. The presence of God is going to leak out of you. So you come on Sunday, you get charged up by the presence of God. You stay at home, you read the Bible, you come into the presence of God, you fill with the presence of God all the time. In relationship, in the fear of God, in the love of God. Genesis chapter 39, verses 3 to 4. Look at his life. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. The master, the non-believer, saw that God was with Joseph, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Who made Joseph prosper? The Lord. Who made you prosper? The Lord. Amen. If you want to be successful and prosperous, the key is this: your relationship with God. Amen. You need the presence of God, and you know the presence of God in the life of Joseph was so evident, was so tangible, was so clear that even people around him saw the presence of God in his life. When people see you, do they see the presence of God? Or they say, oh, you are just another person walking here. People need to see that God is with you. So Joseph found favor in his sight. You know, when God favor you, man gonna favor you, give you a favor. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? When God give you a favor, wherever you go, God, those people gonna give you a favor. This is the secret of Christian walk. Amen. Then he make him overseer all of his house and all that he had put under his authority. Amen. He is a single man who was very successful and happy. And what is the key? Relationship with God. Love God with all your heart. Welcome the presence of God. Fear God. And serve God with all your heart. Being a man of integrity. Being a man and a woman of faithfulness. Loyalty. Submission. Commitment. Have the character inside you. Look at his life. Look at verses 5 to 9. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Joseph is a single who God blessed so much. Everything he touches, he touched, blessed. How many people like to be like that? What is the key? Strong relationship with God. Amen. The presence of God, the anointing. Amen? Amen. But you look at this, the Bible always also talk about him. He was handsome in form and appearance. Joseph did not only take care of his spiritual life, he took care of his physical life. He eat right. He have good rest. He exercise. He did not let his body go downhill. He has self-control by the Spirit of God. He took care of his body. So I want to encourage all the single in this room, take care of your body too, not only your spiritual life. Amen. take care of everything in your life. Make sure that you eat right, sleep right, rest right. Make sure you don't overeat and gain weight and gain weight and gain weight. Don't eat junk food too much. Amen. It's not going to be healthy for you. Amen. No one say amen. Pastor, you have been talking about this for the last 3 weeks. I think one of the problems in America is eating too much. Eating too much junk food. Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 to 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph. He was good looking. So the master wife want to have relationship with him. She said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master, look at his heart. Read this scripture carefully. Look at his heart. Oh, I like Joseph. Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He has committed all that he has to my hand. He's very loyal. He is very submissive. He is faithful. He's a man of integrity. He's a man of purity. He never attack his boss. He never cheat his boss. He always have good heart toward his boss. And that's why God bless him. Amen. There is no one greater in his house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you. Because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? Mean to lie with her. To have relationship with her. And sin against God. When you see this, why God blessed Joseph? I don't think because Joseph is special, more special than you. I don't think that God is a God of partiality, a God of prejudice. I don't think so. I think God looked at his heart. This man is a man who fears God. He doesn't want to make God unhappy with him. He fears God. He live a life of purity. Amen. Fear God. Live a life of purity, righteousness. You know, Pastor Da shared with me something, and I know why God blessed Da so much. Because my wife is a woman who fears God. And that's why God blessed her. You know that my daughter worked for Nordstrom. And she can have 30% or something, 10%, 30% off if she buys something from Nordstrom. And Da told my daughter, if we're going to buy something, I and Da are going to buy something, we're going to buy full price. We are not going to use you to buy discount price. Because if we do that, we cheat Nordstrom. A woman of integrity. You know, people can sneak and say, daughter, I want that. Could you buy under your name? So we get 30% off. I don't know how many percent. I never even paid attention. But you know, we need to be people of integrity. We are not cheating people. We are not sneaking. We are living a life of holiness. Don't cheat. Don't commit adultery. Don't go out. You know, a lot of time people use their own ability to take advantage of people. They're smarter or they are more handsome. I notice that many handsome men in the world take advantage of women. They are like a crocodile. Eat up women. Try that and try this. Go flirt with women. That woman, this woman, and just touch her and take advantage of her body and then leave and then disappear. Don't do that. Honor ladies in the church. Honor ladies. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, beside the laying on of hand around here in front of the altar that I lay hand on. But usually when I pray for women in the church, I don't touch their body. And it's already evident last Friday, Katrina was sick. And I prayed for her. I didn't even lay hand on her. I just pray in the name of Jesus, you are healed. You know why? Because I want to honor a woman's body. You cannot just go and touch and... You know, I saw some people in the hospital when they seen young nurses and they go, oh, how are you? I look at them. Why you have to hug her? Why you have to do like that? This is taking advantage of women. Don't do that. Honor. Amen. I'm not against hugging and shaking hand, all these things, but look at your attitude. What is your motive behind? Amen. Men, please honor woman. Don't go and touch this and that, you know, don't do that. Honor ladies. Hallelujah. So quiet here. Then Joseph was put in jail because the wife of Potiphar got mad at him, lied about him. It's amazing. He was put in jail. Look at what happened. Genesis chapter 39, verse 23. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Wow. If you love God, you fear God, you are faithful to God, you keep your heart right, you keep your life pure, what happened? God can turn jail into a party. He became a boss in the jail. Wherever he went, and eventually he went to Egypt. You know what happened? He became the prime minister of Egypt. He was the second in command. And at the right time, he got a wife. So during your single life, live your life like Joseph. Honest, fear God, love God, don't take advantage of people, don't cheat, don't do things that will hurt God's feeling. Just be faithful to God, and the Lord's presence is going to be with you, and you will be successful. I want to end this sermon by encouraging all the single in this room this way. How many people have been in the airplane before? One time I was on the airplane, and the pilot said, we cannot land because of the fog and the bad condition on the land. So they have to kind of put the plane in the holding position, keep flying around the airport, waiting for the right timing. At that time, the pilot will make signal down to the ground that clean up or do something to prepare for the landing. The pilot know that if he lands the airplane too fast, at the wrong timing, the plane gonna crash. Is that right? God is your pilot. He knows the right time for you to land, amen, to get married. Amen. If you land too prematurely, or you land out of your own flesh, I'm going to land now. I don't care about the bad weather down there. I don't care about snow and the icy runway. You're going to land yourself. You may crash. Wait for the pilot in heaven, the Father in heaven, to talk to the Holy Spirit on earth. Let the Holy Spirit clean up the runway for you. Wait for the right timing to land. Let God lead you to the right timing to get married. Don't rush God. And all the singles say, don't rush God. Amen. Amen, Henry. Amen, Kun San. Amen, Steve. Steve. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let God lead your life. This morning, how many people want to, either you're married or you're single, you want to be successful like Joseph? How many people want to promise God today, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that you will live a life in the fear of God, have relationship with God, love God, feel with the presence of God all the days of your life, choose righteousness, not choosing sin? How many people want to do that? And you're going to see the hand of God upon your life. Amen. Why don't we stand up, and I'm going to lead you to pray. You're going to follow my prayer. Don't worry. I ask you to make commitment to God. But I know that the Holy Spirit will help you to be able to do that. You don't have to do it by your own strength. You just make decision to commit your life to God. And then God will help you. Amen. Close your eyes and let's pray together. Follow my prayer one sentence at a time. Father in heaven, I confess with you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.